This is a song, the words to, he's a lily of the valley that Vicky Moots changed it, the words, and it's called He's Altogether Lovely.
I'm sure you recognize the tune of that song, but those words are far more scriptural. And praise the Lord for such a wonderful message of Christ. Let us turn this morning to the first chapter of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 1. And let us begin reading with verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent or given him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be given to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. I want to speak this morning on the heart of a godly mother. I'm sure there are many examples of this in the scripture, but Hannah is one of my favorites for many, many years. And today I want to see that there are five major characteristics which describe the heart of a godly mother. They're very much manifest in Hannah's life. And so the first thing that is required, the first thing it is demanded of a godly mother is her desire for children. Verse 11, she, that is Hannah, vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me and not forget thine handmaid and not forget thine, but thou wilt give thine handmaid a man-child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. You will notice the extreme desire, longing, obsession that this woman had for a child. We find out in verse 10 that she was in bitterness of soul. That doesn't mean that she was a bitter woman. It means that this desire she had went to the very core of this woman. And she began to pray unto the Lord, and she wept sore. It is quite plain that Elkanah, her husband, a godly man, I am quite sure, but this man really did not understand her. He didn't understand this deep desire that she had for a child. If you go back up to verse 8, we read, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? And that's how deep her desire was, the very innermost part of her heart. And then he said to her, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And the answer to that question is an emphatic no. He did not understand that he couldn't fill that void. He couldn't fill that role in her heart that only a child could bring. There are many women in our day, has been down through the ages, bring children into the world, but they do not have a mother's heart. I think of the two women that came to Solomon, both of them claiming the same child. And Solomon said, we'll fix this. He called for a sword and he said, we'll divide the child in two and give you each half. He found out real quick who had the mother's heart, because the one that did said, oh no, give it to her. Don't slay this child. There is a deep desire and longing in a mother's heart for a child. And so Solomon knew exactly who had the mother's heart at that point. We find in these verses that Hannah longed for a child at all costs. You will notice her vow here in verse 11. If you'll honor this, if you'll remember me, if you'll not forget your handmaid, you'll give me this child, I will give him unto the Lord as a Nazarite forever. The rites of the Nazarite were the most strict and stringent in Israel. It meant this child would be completely given over into the hand of the Lord, and it would be done so from a little child. Hannah was willing to sacrifice her own self in order that this child would come into the world. That's a mother's heart. Mothers today know full well that one of your jobs is sacrificing for your children, even though they may not understand it or even realize it is happening. This is the heart of a mother, such desire that she would indeed endure this sacrifice, as we will see a little bit later on. She longed for this child at all cost. There's something else I believe it is very important here in the heart of Hannah. Israel desperately needed a leader, and God knew that. One of the greatest ways that you can experience answered prayer is to be in harmony with what God wants to do anyway. He wanted to bring such a son. He wanted to bring such a Nazarite into the world. Hannah's mother's heart was right in line, in sympathy with what God wanted to do. The second thing we find about Hannah is her knowledge. She knew that only God could meet this need. She had such bitterness of soul, as we find in verse 10, but she prayed unto the Lord. She knew only God was able to do this. She described it as an affliction, and no one else could fix that affliction outside of God. There have been many barren women in the scripture, and it is remarkable when you find them, because when God answers, when God delivers them from their affliction, it is always someone that makes a tremendous impact on the surroundings around them, and even reaching down unto generations further down the line. Rachel was a barren woman, but Rachel does not voice the knowledge that Hannah had here. Rachel was so determined and so frustrated and so exasperated, she went to her husband, Jacob, and she said, "You give me children or else I die." And of course, Jacob took offense because he knew he didn't have that power. He knew, along with Hannah, only God can supply that need. Only God can make you fruitful. Rachel did become fruitful and rejoiced in the Lord for that. But Hannah knew at this particular point, only God can deliver me from this affliction. And so she had a tremendous knowledge that God was the one able, and indeed he was faithful. And then Hannah, the third point, Hannah had a meek and quiet spirit. She lived up to her name. Hannah means she was gracious. And Hannah proved that to be in her own experience. We will not turn there, but Hannah beautifully exemplifies and demonstrates the instruction, the exhortation that Peter gave to the wives of his day. He says this, "While they behold your," talking about your husbands, if you're going to be an example to your husband, if you're going to win your husband, "they behold your chaste conversation or manner of life, coupled with fear." We have seen it again and again that fearing your husband does not mean you're afraid of him. It's the fear of respect. It's the fear of reverence. It's the fear of submission unto him because of divine love and because of God's order. And so Peter says, they need to see your chaste, your godly, your pure conversation coupled with fear. "Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but it let it be the hidden man of the heart." The inner heart, this heart that Indeed, Hannah had, at this point, the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God. That's exactly what Hannah did. She impressed God in this little narrative we'll see here just momentarily. After this manner in old time, the holy women who trusted in God. This is one of the great secrets of a meek and quiet spirit. You don't have to get upset with other people because your trust is in God and not in husbands or anyone else. She had a meek and quiet spirit who trusted in God, and they adorned themselves being in subjection unto their own husbands. I want to notice how she demonstrated such a wonderful meek and quiet spirit. Verse 13, verse 12. It came to pass as she continued praying. And you will notice this was not just a snap answer. It was not just going in and immediately she rose up and went home and got pregnant. She continued praying before the Lord. Eli, the priest, marked her mouth. Hannah, she spoke in her heart. And this is where that a woman lives, in her heart. She indeed was in tune with the innermost recesses and desires of her heart. And she spoke to the Lord in her heart. I'm sure she didn't even realize anyone was even around. This was between her and God. And there was such a bond, such a union, that she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved. Her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said to her in the midst of that prayer, "How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you." Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid as a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." And thank God Eli got the message. But I want to notice the meek and the quiet spirit that this woman had. She did not retaliate against Eli. She didn't tell Eli, "If you were spiritual enough, you'd know for heaven's sake that I'm not drunk." But she didn't do that. I also think of that meek and quiet spirit when her husband said to her, "Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" She didn't retaliate against him and try to explain anything to him. She had a meek and a quiet spirit. And indeed, she trusted in the Lord. That is the heart of a true godly woman and mother. She truly did trust in him and left the battle with him. If you go down to verse 20, her efforts were rewarded. "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she bore a son, called his name Samuel, saying, Because I've asked him of the Lord." She knew that only the Lord gave her this child. And she named him Samuel, asked of God. And that is important to a woman's heart. She never did demand of God. She asked of God. There's a difference. Some people think that their great faith can just demand so much and God has to do anything because of her. No, he doesn't. Our attitude must be asking of God. and she named her son Samuel. Then we come to the fourth part, the fourth point. A mother's heart is a heart of faith and faithfulness to God. There came the day that, the day of reckoning, as we say, when Hannah had to either honor her commitment to God or not. She waited longer than what her husband thought she should. He didn't demand of her, which is certainly sound advice for husbands today, to have confidence in the spirituality of your wife. Many have profited from that many, many times over the years. And so Elkanah did not demand of her. And so there came the day, even though she delayed the time, there came the day, verse 24, when she had weaned him, when she had weaned Samuel, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. We're not told how young, but he was indeed young. And now Hannah is presenting him to the Lord as she said she would do. We see Hannah's faith in the very by virtue of the fact that she even bore a son. This is a barren woman. And yet, because of her faith, God has made her fruitful. We see her faith in the birth of Samuel, but she's not done. We see her faithfulness in giving this son over into the hand of the Lord. We see her faithful to honor her vow of making him a Nazarite, fully dedicated and set apart unto the Lord. But we see again her faith, because this woman is willing to leave her child, young child, in a very dangerous atmosphere. She could have come up with some real legitimate excuses, because the environment that Samuel would be in is not a good one. The sons of Eli, Scripture openly says, were absolutely rebellious. They wouldn't listen to a thing that their father said, to the point that God eventually killed him for it. This is the atmosphere that Hannah had to believe God to leave her son in this place. But she was indeed able to do it. It was undesirable, it was unhealthy. And think about her impressionable child learning from these older young men that certainly did not honor God and did not honor their father. This tells us of the extreme faith of Hannah for the future. This brings us to the fifth point, and that is, a mother's heart is one of influence. Verse 28. Therefore also I have given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be given to the Lord. And he, Samuel, worshiped the Lord there. This has to be the result, especially of Hannah's influence. So I thought on this, I thought of other situations that I have known. or that mothers knew there was a change coming for their child. And they didn't just take them out and drop them down and this is it. They took great pains to explain the situation to them. How long had Hannah taught her son about the vow that she had made? How long had she taught her son how that he must be a Nazarite? He could have no wine or strong drink. He had to let his hair grow. He could come at no dead body. All of these various things. I'm absolutely certain that Hannah schooled her son well. Not only that, but I am persuaded that she told him there would be coming a day when his role in life was going to be changed, and he would be the one that would be ministering unto Eli. He would be a servant of Eli. I think those lessons were learned, and we never find that Samuel ever drew back. Follow the narrative through here and find out that when Samuel heard the voice of the Lord, he thought it was Eli. He was used to that voice, and he ran to see, "Here am I, what do you want?" He was in that mode of serving Eli. I am convinced much because of his mother's influence on his life. And so when we see here that she presented him and he worshiped the Lord there, I think he learned to worship by following her example. He had seen it more than once, confident of that, because of the type of woman that she was. And then we come to chapter 2 and verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." This seems to be the last lesson she taught Samuel at this time. She did not concentrate on herself and her loss. We read of no tears of regret or sorrow. She taught her son, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This is the image he had of his mother as she went back home and she left him with Eli. Here is a woman that is rejoicing in the Lord. And I think that was a lesson that he did not think strange because he had learned it all of his life. She had such a tremendous influence on his life. And her parting image would not be one that he would regret and be sad about at all. He had been prepared for this day. That is the heart of a godly mother. So I thought on these, there's no mention of it here, but I can't help but think. It doesn't take a whole lot of speculation to realize it. Proverbs 31:28 says this, talking about the virtuous woman. "Her children shall rise up and call her blessed." I am absolutely persuaded that Samuel would rise up and call her blessed for all of the things that she had taught him and for the spirit that she had in her own heart. "Her children shall rise up and call her blessed." There is a reason for that.